A good, good amen. The Lord bless you, refashion you, remodel you, and make you a bright, wonderful, productive instrument in His hand, in Jesus' name. Father, we bless your name for your love for us. Lord, we plead, leave us not the way we came. A transformation in every life that will make us fulfill your will, do your work, and make please you in everything that we do. That this work will prosper in our hands. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You can sit down. Acts chapter 1, reading from verse 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3. In verse 3 says, to whom also he showed himself alive after the passion, after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now in verse 4 it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Verse 5, in verse 5 it says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. In verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom, restore again the kingdom to Israel? Then in verse 7, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. There we find the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. Christ had spent a period of time exposing, expounding, and revealing the kingdom of God unto the people of Israel, so that Israel will take the word, there'll be his mouthpiece, and take that word of the kingdom to the rest of the world. And Luke had written the good news, the gospel of the kingdom. He wrote that to Theophilus, and from Theophilus now it's been preserved for us. Matthew 2 had written that. Mark had written that. And John is also giving to us. And now it says we are to continue, because all that we read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're what Jesus began to do and to teach. He had the deeds, he had the doctrine, he had the manifestation of the power of God, he also had the miracles and the message. Now, the Lord, having died for our sins and brought the gospel, the good news of salvation to everyone on earth, and then he rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples or the apostles. He is now recommissioning them, and he's recommissioning us to take the word he had preached and to take the wonders he had performed and go give that to everyone on earth. He had told them at the end of Matthew, go teach all nations. He told them at the end of Mark, go preach the gospel to every creature. He told them at the end of Luke that repentance must be preached in his name among all nations. He told them at the end of John, as my Father have sent me into the world, even so have I told you. And now, as we come to this Acts chapter 1, is telling us about recommitment to Christ's unfinished task. It's not a lot, but the whole world had not heard. He's preached a lot, but the whole world had not heard. You are now to begin in Jerusalem, go to all of Judea, and go to all of Samaria. In fact, go to the different parts of the world until the gospel will reach every part of the world. The message tonight, recommitment to Christ's unfinished task. The three parts we're looking at in the message. Number one is the comprehension of his uncommon teaching. Number two is the command for unconventional tarrying. Number three is the consecration for the unfinished task. Look at number one there. Number one there, the comprehension of his uncommon teaching. As he tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, and he says, the former treatise have I made known, O Theophilus, all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Uncommon teaching, unprecedented teaching, unheard of teaching. As you look at the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, from Genesis all through to Malachi, what Jesus brought was uncommon, unknown, unheard of. And we need to have a comprehension of that before we can recommit ourselves to this great work and the great task. You see that what he began, he didn't finish, he began. He didn't reach the whole world, he began. He didn't reach the whole of Jerusalem and the whole of Israel, he began both to do and to teach. And that is what you and I are now to take up and were to teach and do as Christ has done. Look at three things. Number one. Number one, the consideration of his uncommon teaching. Number two, the confirmation of his unprecedented testimonial. All the miracles that he did, the testimonial, the credential of Christ as healer, as deliverer, as savior, as sanctifier, as baptizer, the credentials, the testimonial as the one that was expected. And now he has come and he showed them by what he did that he really was the Christ, the Messiah. Number three is the concentration of his unfinished task, on his unfinished task. Concentration, the focus of the church, the focus of the ministry, the focus of the ministers, and the focus of the preachers. Number one. Number one is the consideration of his uncommon teaching. Look at Matthew chapter 7, reading from verse 24. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. What are the sayings of him? Not only Matthew 5, 6, and 7, in the whole of his ministry, he spoke about repentance. Whosoever hears that and does that will be a wise man. He spoke about being born again. Except a man be born again, born afresh, born anew, born by the Spirit of God, except his Spirit be born again and comes alive, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. His teaching, whosoever hears, those teachings that he gave were uncommon. And we need to consider that as we have that in our lives and also pass it on to the people we're ministering to. He spoke about the heart being changed, the heart because of the inbred nature is dirty, is defiled, is deadened. But now we come to the Lord and he purges that heart. He purifies that heart. He makes the heart anew. And he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We need to consider the consideration of his uncommon teaching. The marriages in Israel had hit the rock, had gone down the drain. Divorce was common, rampant. Also, disaffection, hatred, anger, and pushing away had come to Israel. And Jesus set everything straight, that when we're born again and we come to know the Lord, here is the word of marriage from the beginning. He set everything right, and he said, all these uncommon teachings that they were hearing from him, whosoever will hear, whosoever will obey, he will be like a wise man, a wise woman. He spoke about things that were hidden, hidden from the foundation of the world. And all these teachings, they were to consider. Look at verse 25. In verse 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and beat, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. When our lives are built on the foundation of salvation, of sanctification, of the power in the Holy Ghost, when our lives are built on the rock of His teaching, challenges will come, but we're able to stand because our lives are built on His uncommon teaching. Matthew chapter 13, reading from verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. Verse 35, look at this. It says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. Look at this. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to reveal the things that had been kept secret from the foundation of the world. That is the teaching, the doctrine, the exposition you will not find in any of the books of the Old Testament. Yes, he fulfilled the Old Testament, and he explained, and he applied, and he gave a deeper meaning, revelation, to the Old Testament messages. But he also emphasized the things that had been hidden from the foundation of the world. Romans chapter 16, reading from verse 25. In Romans 16, verse 25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, the good news, the revelation, and the preaching of Jesus Christ. The apostles, the disciples, after Christ went back home to heaven, they took with them the preaching, the teaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. The mystery is what had been hidden that nobody knew, but now revealed, which was kept secret since the world began. So, what we learn in the Gospels, what we learned in the Acts, what we learned in the Epistles, and what we learned in Revelation goes beyond what they knew before Christ came. These were things that were kept secret since the world began. Look at verse 26. In verse 26, and now is made manifest, kept secret before, but now made manifest, and by the scripture, by the scriptures of the prophets, and according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Those things that have been kept secret are now revealed. As you see, the revelation, the exposition of things, maybe you didn't know that before, you didn't hear that before, you'll not throw it away, toss it away, because I never knew that, that have been kept secret from you from the beginning of your Christian life and Christian endeavor. But now Christ, by Spirit, is revealing that to you. Consider it. It's uncommon, unknown, unheard of. Consider. Look at number two. Number two, the confirmation of his unprecedented testimonial that he is the things that happened that never happened before. Unprecedented. We know there were miracles in the Old Testament. Miracles from the time of Genesis. Miracle that happened when Abraham prayed for the house of Abimelech. We know miracles happened as we come to Exodus. Miracles happened as we go into Joshua. Miracles happened in the Old Testament. But the miracles of Christ, as you think about them, the people that were born blind, being healed, even the man testified that since the world began, we have not heard that a man that was born blind received their sight. The miracle of the lepers being cleansed by a single word, "I will be thou clean," never happened like that before. Sending those 10 lepers and telling them, "Go, show yourself unto the priest." And as they were going, all the 10, without exception, they were cleansed and they were healed. The miracle of Lazarus coming up out of the grave. Lazarus come forth after dying and being buried for 4 days, and the body already decomposing. Unprecedented miracle. The miracle of the paralytic rising up just by the word, without a touch. "I say unto thee, arise," and immediately he arose. And the people said, "We have never seen it in this fashion." And so, what Jesus did was unprecedented. And there were the testimonial, the confidential thing that he did as his credential as the Messiah. The confirmation came. Look at Mark chapter 2, reading from verse 11. It says, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house." Verse 12, "And immediately he arose, and he took up the bed, and went forth before them all, in so much that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion." We've read the Old Covenant books. We've studied, we've examined, we've heard from our fathers what God did in the old age. But this one, the way it happened, we never saw it in this fashion. Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, reading from verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see." Verse 5, "The blind receive their sight." Many blind people within 3.5 years receive their sight. That did not happen the 40 years of miracle working ministry of Moses in the Old Testament. The blind received their sight. As powerful as Elijah was, that never happened in the ministry of Elijah. And as powerful, as mighty as Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah were as prophets, that never happened. This is unprecedented, because the blind received their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. In verse 6 makes it very clear, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me, in him, in Christ. In John chapter 7, reading from verse 24, John 7, verse 24, it says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And he evaluated his work, evaluated his teaching, evaluated his testimonial. They should not judge by sight. If they were professing, they respected the Old Testament prophets. How about Christ? Look at what he has done that nobody else ever did. Look at what he taught that nobody ever taught. And look at his transforming power, that he transformed the hearts and the lives of people, that never happened in the past. It says, judge in a mature way, and judge in a spiritual way, and judge righteous judgment. Now he tells us in John chapter 8, verse 24, John chapter 8, verse 24. In John chapter 8, verse 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he. You see all those credentials? You see all those testimonials? You see things uncommon? You hear things unheard of before? And you can tell about the things unprecedented that no other prophet, no other teacher ever did. Then you should believe. Are you saying you believe your Old Testament prophets? Believe him also that I am he, except that you shall die in your sins. We're coming to number three here. Number three is the concentration. Now it comes to us, our own concentration on his unfinished task. It tells us in Matthew chapter 28, reading from verse 18. This is why we're workers, this is why we're disciples, this is why we are ministers of God. What our concentration now will be on. And we need to examine your ministry, examine your work, examine your activities. What are you concentrating on? It's an unfinished task. We need to concentrate on, we need to focus on our prayer, our preaching, our preoccupation, our activities, and the things we do every time Here is what we consider. Here is what we consecrate for. And here is what we concentrate on. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach in your own nation. Teach in Israel. Teach in neighboring nations. And teach in faraway nations. Teach all nations. Here now is our concentration. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teaching all things, not concentrating only on salvation and healing. Teaching all things, not concentrating on physical blessing and deliverance. They're good, they're part of it, but teaching them to observe all things, not concentrating only on personal success, personal joy, and family values. Good, that's part of it, but all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He wants us to continue this unfinished task. He wants us to continue all that he began to teach, everything until the very end. John chapter 17, reading from verse 16. John 17, verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Don't worry about that. The Father has put that in his Son. But he shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of this earth. They are not of this world. And so they understand there are people that are in charge of improving the world, helping in various things so that the world will become better than it is, ecologically, economically, politically, technologically, and in every way. But Christ said, I've given you a special assignment which all those others cannot do, because you are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Look at verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. The word is truth. Verse 18. In verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world to save the lost. As thou hast sent me into the world to get them out of darkness and bring them into the light. as thou hast sent me into the world to reveal the good news that had been hidden from the foundation of the world. As thou hast sent me into the world to bring people out of sin and from the hand of Satan, bring them to God, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And when Jesus was here, he had concentration. He didn't concentrate on what Joseph was doing in secular work. Yes, he did that. This is not the carpenter's son. He followed after the profession of Joseph, but the concentration of his life was on doing the work of the Father. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That was his concentration. That must be your concentration. Would you please think about it and answer the question? What have you concentrated on doing since you became a worker? How many people have been saved, born again, only by your effort? Think about that. How many people have been brought out of spiritual darkness and blindness and are brought to the light, and they can say, once I was blind, now I can see by your ministry? What do you tell? What do you say? I've been doing this and doing this and doing this. Those things you have been doing, concentrating on, have they transformed any life? Have they saved any sinner? Have they made the believers to go forward, higher, further, deeper in the things of the Spirit? Have your involvement in the ministry actually made people to come out of the world and to come fully, completely unto the Lord? As your involvement sanctified anyone, stabilized anyone, enlightened anyone in the things of the kingdom? The reason we came is to examine ourselves and not to have the concentration on the unfinished task. We are coming to point number two. Point number two, the command for unconventional tarrying. We're looking at Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Acts chapter 1, reading from verses 4 and 5. Here he tells us, and being assembled together with them. Do you believe that there were two or three are gathered in my name there? I am in the presence of them. Do you truly, wholeheartedly believe that? That as we're gathered together, that Christ is here. If you believe that, it will affect your concentration on what he says unto his church. It will affect your reaction, your response to what he says to his church. It will affect the way you pray and how you pray. It will affect your understanding of the kind of gathering in which we are. being assembled together with them. He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Luke 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry. I send the promise of my Father upon you. The level of respect, the level of honor you have for the Father will be reflected in how you expect the promise the Father is sending. The level of your honor for the Father will show in your attitude waiting for what the Father wants to send. It says, you tarry in Jerusalem. It says here, you tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Three things. Number one, the fruit of tarrying before toiling. Number two is the failure of talking without tarrying. Number three, the faith while tarrying with thirst. You're thirsty, you're eager, you desire, you pant after what Christ, our Savior and Sanctifier, wants to send from the throne of the Father. We're looking at number one, the fruit of tarrying before toiling. We're told in Isaiah chapter 40, reading from verse 28. Art thou not known? Art thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the heaven of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is weary? Then he says, there is no searching of his understanding. Verse 29. In verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. After we have toiled and worked and labored, we get tired, we get weary, we have fatigue. But now, when we come to the Lord, he gives power to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. Verse 30 says, even the youths, those who appear to have more energy, strength, power than the older people, even they faint and they become weary, and young men shall utterly fall. They walk and walk and walk and labor and labor and labor without resting, tarrying, waiting for the power of the Lord. Verse 31, but they that wait, but look, not just waiting, wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Your strength will be renewed. Your power, your flame, your fire will be rekindled in Jesus' name. If you're getting weary, getting tired, if it appears, I'm even tired, and I don't think I really want to continue, by the grace of God, you will continue. Discouragement gone in Jesus' name. Despair gone in Jesus' name. But you know how the discouragement and the despair and the defeat and even the downfall, how that will vanish away? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, you will run, and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What if everyone here, what if every worker gathered everywhere will receive new strength? Because now you are waiting expectantly. And because you are tarrying, as Christ has said, and he said, not many days hence, there'll be a renewal in your life. And what if everybody were to have that, and you will have greater strength and greater power, greater focus and greater vision and greater passion and greater ability than you ever had? The work we're doing all together, the work of Christ, will prosper in our hands in Jesus' name. In Psalm 27, verse 14, Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We're looking at number two here. Number two is the failure of talking without tarrying. The tongue is a little member, and it does sometimes, somehow, more work than the eyes, more work than the ears, more work than the hands, more work than the feet. It's like the tongue is too occupied, talking. And yet, in that talk, without tarrying, we lose power. Even the power we had before, the power, like oil, leaks out, and the power is no more there. But this time, by the grace of God, we'll control the tongue. No, not just saying, we don't say bad things as believers. You're a believer, she's a believer. We're not talking about, talking bad things. You don't do that by the grace of God. You'll not do that by the grace of God. Even talking, and talking something good, the power can leak away. Your power will not leak away. We're looking at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. It says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury, to poverty. And let's look at number three here. Number three is, but faith while tarrying with thirst. We're thirsty for something. We know why we came. and that the reason we are tarrying. We hear the message. If we have 5 minutes to pray, let us really pray. If we have 10 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever, let us really pray. The Lord will answer your prayer. You will not go back home the same as you came, in Jesus' name. Isaiah chapter 44, reading from verse 3. Isaiah 44, verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. I was waiting for your amen there. John chapter 7, verse 37. In John chapter 7, verse 37, it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, that's the condition, brother, that's the condition, sister, if anyone thirst, you must have thirst. You're not just here because, okay, we're told to come, I come. No, you're a wise man, you're a wise woman. If you let those precious things behind at home and you come, it's because you're expecting something. Your expectation will not be cut short. And it says, we must thirst. You're thirsty. You have prayer requests. You have desires. You want strength. You want power. And you want success in ministry. Thank God you will have. But look at this. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Verse 38. In verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. If rivers of living water will flow out of us, out of me, how can I feel weary? How can I feel dry? If my very inner man, inmost spirit, becomes the source of living waters, I'll be refreshed, I'll be at rest, I'll be happy, I will be a blessing to people around me, because the rivers of living water is flowing from me and flowing to the people around. Verse 39, but they spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But he's glorified now. I said he's glorified now. The Holy Ghost will be given. You'll be reborn. You'll be refined. You'll be refilled. It will fill you to overflowing in Jesus' name. We come to point number three here. Point number three, the consecration for the unfinished task. Consecration for the unfinished task. Look at verse 5. For John truly baptized with water. For John actually, definitely baptized with water. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Amen. Verse 8. In verse 8, but ye shall receive power. I will receive power. Say it with your heart. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. The Holy Ghost will come upon me. Say, the Holy Ghost will come upon me. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. I'll be a witness unto Christ, both in my Jerusalem, in all Judea round about me, and in Samaria far away from me, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Preachers with new power are going to be raised up. Evangelists with miracle working power and outreach will be raised up in Jesus' name. All those dreams that you have been having, and you've seen yourself preaching to multitudes and bringing multitudes to Christ, the power is going to come upon you in Jesus' name. You have been faithful in the local church, in the district church, in the group. Now, the time has come for you to also reach the uttermost part of the earth. Not only Peter, Andrew. I didn't hear you. Not only Peter and Andrew, John. Not only John, James. What's your name? Say it out aloud. The Lord confirm it to your life in Jesus' name. Three things we're looking at here. Number one, the promise of the Father for undefiled, sanctified sons, of course, and daughters. Number two, the power for faithfulness through unwavering, steadfast supplication. Number three is the possession of the fullness of uncompromising, steadfast service. Look at number one. Number one, the promise of the Father for sanctified sons and daughters. I pray this will be your own time. Say, it will be my own time. Say, it will be my own time. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Luke 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued, enveloped, and clothed with power from on high. I will turn. I will wait. The Lord will bless and honor your waiting upon him in Jesus' name. Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, we're reading from verse 9. In verse 9, and I say unto you, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. Then in verse 10, for everyone. How many people? Am I there? Everyone. Am I included? Praise God. Tonight, He will answer your prayer. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. The door will be open to you tonight. And then in verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that, tell me, to them that ask him. Are you going to ask? He will give you. Look at number two. Number two is the power for fruitfulness through the unwavering, steadfast supplication. When we pray and we're steadfast about it, it will be done. I said, it will be done. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaking where they were assembled together. Look at that. And that is what God expects when we pray. We open our mouth and we speak out. We don't speak above all the other people to shut everybody down. No. But we pour out our hearts before the Lord. And we're not just, when we're praying, we're not preaching the message to ourselves all over again, standing there, meditating and thinking through and trying to remember and trying to recall the various points. No, as we hear the message and we're really passionate and we're thirsty and we're desirous and we have expectation that all those things we heard in the message will be transferred into our lives, then we really pray. And it says, when they had prayed, the place was shaking. If they were quiet and meditating and nobody heard any voice, all that power would not have come to the early church. The power of the early church is coming upon you. Amen. Brother, sister, upon you. Amen. And when you leave, even this evening, after the prayer, you see and feel the power inside you there. Amen. And from now, where you failed before, you are now going to succeed. When you preach and there was no response, people are going to respond unto you. And you will be an effective, successful representative of Christ in Jesus' name. And when they preached, the place was shaking when they were assembled together. And they were filled, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with with. God give you the courage, the boldness, and the authority of a filled person in Jesus' name. In verse 33, it says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I believe great grace will come upon your life. I believe great power will be showered upon you in Jesus' name. Look at number three. Number three is the possession of fullness for uncompromising, steadfast service. Your service is going to come to a new level. New power, new strength, new unction. Somebody say unction. Now, what do I need unction for? There's another word similar to that, but different: function. Unction to function. Somebody shout unction to function. You will function. Better days, higher days, greater days, more successful ministry. You will tell me function, and you're going to have more unction for function in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, reading from verse 19. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. And to know the love of Christ. You'll know that love of Christ in a greater way, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God. Your cup will not be empty tonight. Whatever container you bring before the Lord, He will fill you to overflowing in Jesus' name. Look at what's going to happen to you in verse 20. Verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Are you thinking you'll be another Elijah, another Ezekiel, another John, another Peter, another Paul? Are you thinking, desiring another Timothy? And God is able tonight to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. From where will that power work? Where? Are you there? I said, from where will the power work? Where are you? Let me see. Stand up. In you. In you. In you. In you. Seriously. This church will not be a one-man church. According to the power that works in Him. What He has, you will have. The passion, the fire, the zeal, the might, the strength, the courage, the enablement is yours from tonight. Above what you ask, above what you think, according to the power that will begin to work in you from tonight. That's your desire. That's your thirst. That's your passion. Open your mouth and tell the Lord. The place was shaking when they prayed, and great boldness, great power came upon them. You are the next to have that power. Even tonight, you are the next one to have the power upon your life. It's yours. It'll turn you to be another man, another woman, as the power of the Spirit comes upon you. The Lord is waiting for you. The church is looking up to you. And the world is waiting that this anointing, unction to function, will come upon you in a way it had never been before. Pray, God will answer your prayer.